Now to the news that didn't make headlines, torn from the pages of real life. The twists and turns of outrageous fortune, sometimes strange, sometimes heartwarming, sometimes thought-provoking, and very often so weird you wouldn't believe it if it wasn't true. Hello, I'm Sean Walker. From the rear vision mirror of the week that's just gone, let me take you on a journey to the very heart of the matter, of who we are and what it's all about. But first, Scotland's biggest city, Glasgow, has dropped its plan to lift up a celebrated statue to stop jokers from putting traffic cones on its head after more than 10,000 people signed a petition in protest. Now, the City Council had planned to spend $104,000 to lift the plinth on which the majestic Duke of Wellington stands in a bid to stop a tradition that is said to give Glasgow a depressing image. Now, erected in central Glasgow in 1844, the statue shows the 19th century British war hero sitting proudly on his horse, but students and revellers regularly delight in placing bright orange traffic cones on his head. And the council said that by raising the plinth almost 2 metres, it would deter all but the most determined of vandals. But with typical Glaswegian humour, more than 10,000 people have signed an online petition describing the practice of placing a cone on the Duke's head as a cherished cultural tradition. The petition goes on to say that raising the statue will only result in people injuring themselves attempting to put the cone on his head. So we request that the council not waste tens of thousands of pounds attempting to stop this proud Glaswegian tradition. And now the council has confirmed, yep, they've dropped their plan. And by the way, it apparently costs around £100 to remove the cone from the Duke's head each and every time one is placed there. A 13-year-old Kansas boy in the United States says he was suspended for carrying a purse to Anderson County Senior Junior School. Skylar Davis said he'd been carrying the colourful fabric Vera Bradley bag over his shoulder for some time and with no issues. The boy says, "It expresses myself, and I think everybody else can wear it, so I can wear it as well." Well, he was summoned to the assistant principal Don Hillard's office after he wouldn't take it off, and he was told he was suspended. The 13-year-old's mother, Leslie Willis, was called to pick up her son and admitted to being a little furious over the situation and is wondering about its timing, saying that her son has been carrying the purse to school since August. Willis said she examined her son's handbook and didn't see anything regarding purses nor bags. Still, Skylar will remain on suspension until he takes the bag off, something he's refused to do. We'll keep you posted on any further developments. South Korea's botched attempt to restore a burnt-out national treasure to its 600-year-old glory has triggered a bout of national hand-wringing over cultural mismanagement and the loss of traditional skills. The destruction of the 14th-century Namdaenam Gate in an arson attack in February 2008, was viewed as a national tragedy. The largely wooden structure, which had managed to survive the devastation of the 1950s Korea War, was listed as National Treasure Number 1 and was a source of fierce cultural pride. Although it was almost burnt to the ground, a decision was quickly made to rebuild it, and from the outset, the State Cultural Heritage Administration stressed that the reconstruction should be carried out as faithfully to the original as possible. Well, some 5 years and $23 million later, the restored gate was unveiled to great fanfare this year. And a mere 5 months later, however, large cracks have appeared in some of the main pillars and the roof timbers, and paint started peeling from the hand-coloured decorative work. Well, the damage was triggered some extensive finger-pointing, with experts, bureaucrats and the media blaming over-ambition, a rushed timeline and lack of money and knowledge of traditional techniques. And now the president, Park Geun-hye, became involved, calling for a thorough investigation into what she said was the shoddy restoration, warning that anybody found to be involved in irregularities will be held to account. A Connecticut rabbi, Noah Miroff, bought a desk that he found listed on Craigslist and ended up discovering a bag filled with $98,000 in cash stuffed inside the purchase. Rabbi Noah says that when he got the piece of office furniture home, the desk was a tiny bit too big for the room. So he and his wife unscrewed the top and they noticed something unusual. And there it was. Behind the drawers, there was this plastic shopping bag. In that bag, $98,000 in cash. Naturally, the rabbi wanted to return it to its owner. The original owner, identified only as Patty, was speechless on the other end of the phone, was only able to say when she was told, "Oh my gosh, oh my God." It's been reported that Patty knew that she stored the money that she'd inherited inside the desk, but she was unable to find it when it fell behind the desk's drawer. Well, she assumed that the money was somewhere else in the home, and, well, she couldn't locate it, so she sold the desk, never thinking it still contained her nest egg. And that's what they call a happy ending. Well, that's another wrap on the week. I'm Sean Walker, and I look forward to catching up with you again next week with another download. Or you can hear But First Stories as they go to air on afternoons on ABC News Radio.
Now listen again.
Now to the news that didn't make headlines, torn from the pages of real life. The twists and turns of outrageous fortune, sometimes strange, sometimes heartwarming, sometimes thought-provoking, and very often so weird you wouldn't believe it if it wasn't true. Hello, I'm Sean Walker. From the rear vision mirror of the week that's just gone, let me take you on a journey to the very heart of the matter, of who we are and what it's all about. But first, Scotland's biggest city, Glasgow, has dropped its plan to lift up a celebrated statue to stop jokers from putting traffic cones on its head after more than 10,000 people signed a petition in protest. Now, the City Council had planned to spend $104,000 to lift the plinth on which the majestic Duke of Wellington stands in a bid to stop a tradition that is said to give Glasgow a depressing image. Now, erected in central Glasgow in 1844, the statue shows the 19th century British war hero sitting proudly on his horse, but students and revellers regularly delight in placing bright orange traffic cones on his head. Now, the council said that by raising the plinth almost 2 metres, it would deter all but the most determined of vandals. But with typical Glaswegian humour, more than 10,000 people have signed an online petition describing the practice of placing a cone on the Duke's head as a cherished cultural tradition. The petition goes on to say that raising the statue will only result in people injuring themselves attempting to put the cone on his head. So we request that the council not waste tens of thousands of pounds attempting to stop this proud Glaswegian tradition. And now the council has confirmed, yep, they've dropped their plan. And by the way, it apparently costs around £100 to remove the cone from the Duke's head each and every time one is placed there. A 13-year-old Kansas boy in the United States says he was suspended for carrying a purse to Anderson County Senior Junior School. Skylar Davis said he'd been carrying the colourful fabric Vera Bradley bag over his shoulder for some time and with no issues. The boy says, "It expresses myself, and I think everybody else can wear it, so I can wear it as well." Well, he was summoned to the assistant principal Don Hillard's office after he wouldn't take it off, and he was told he was suspended. The 13-year-old's mother, Leslie Willis, was called to pick up her son and admitted to being a little furious over the situation and is wondering about its timing, saying that her son has been carrying the purse to school since August. Willis said she examined her son's handbook and didn't see anything regarding purses nor bags. Still, Skylar will remain on suspension until he takes the bag off, something he's refused to do. We'll keep you posted on any further developments. South Korea's botched attempt to restore a burnt-out national treasure to its 600-year-old glory has triggered a bout of national hand-wringing over cultural mismanagement and the loss of traditional skills. The destruction of the 14th-century Namdaenam Gate in an arson attack in February 2008 was viewed as a national tragedy. The largely wooden structure, which had managed to survive the devastation of the 1950s Korea War, was listed as National Treasure Number 1 and was a source of fierce cultural pride. Although it was almost burnt to the ground, a decision was quickly made to rebuild it, and from the outset, the State Cultural Heritage Administration stressed that the reconstruction should be carried out as faithfully to the original as possible. Well, some 5 years and $23 million later, the restored gate was unveiled to great fanfare this year. And a mere 5 months later, however, large cracks have appeared in some of the main pillars and the roof timbers, and paint started peeling from the hand-coloured decorative work. Well, the damage was triggered some extensive finger-pointing, with experts, bureaucrats and the media blaming over-ambition, a rushed timeline and a lack of money and knowledge of traditional techniques. And now the president, Park Geun-hye, became involved, calling for a thorough investigation into what she said was the shoddy restoration, warning that anybody found to be involved in irregularities will be held to account. A Connecticut rabbi, Noah Muroff, bought a desk that he found listed on Craigslist and ended up discovering a bag filled with $98,000 in cash stuffed inside the purchase. Rabbi Noah says that when he got the piece of office furniture home, the desk was a tiny bit too big for the room. So he and his wife unscrewed the top and they noticed something unusual. And there it was. Behind the drawers, there was this plastic shopping bag. In that bag, $98,000 in cash. Naturally, the rabbi wanted to return it to its owner. The original owner, identified only as Patty, was speechless on the other end of the phone, was only able to say when she was told, "Oh my gosh! Oh my God!" It's been reported that Patty knew that she stored the money that she had inherited inside the desk, but she was unable to find it when it fell behind the desk's drawer. Well, she assumed that the money was somewhere else in the home, and, well, she couldn't locate it, so she sold the desk, never thinking it still contained her nest egg. And that's what they call a happy ending. Well, that's another wrap on the week. I'm Sean Walker, and I look forward to catching up with you again next week with another download. Or you can hear But First Stories as they go to air on afternoons on ABC News Radio.